You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week 5 and the final week of our series, Start Small, Your Guide to Big Results in the New Year. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
And one of my favorite shows on Netflix these days is a series called Last Chance U. Some of you may have seen it. Last Chance U is a documentary-style series that follows the life of some of the most talented college athletes. These guys have crazy, crazy, crazy top talent. And a lot of them who end up on this series, many of them were recruited by the top Division I schools and athletic programs, but they can't hack it there for whatever reason. And so now they're playing at the junior college level. It's either, their grades weren't good enough to stay at the big Division I school, or they messed up somewhere, or, some of them have even gotten in trouble with the law, or they had some real, glaring character issue that ruined their chances of playing or of staying at that highest level. And so this Netflix series follows the life of these athletes playing at the junior college level, trying to make it back to the highest level of competition, trying to make it back to Division I athletics, or even trying to make it big time to go to the pros. The current season that I'm watching right now in Last Chance U, it's following a junior college basketball team in East LA. And on the team is a former LSU, top Division I school. On the team is a former LSU recruit. On the team is also the son of a former NBA basketball player and a young kid who in high school he was often compared to and it was even considered to be kind of the next LeBron James. And so these guys in particular, these three guys, they just have crazy amounts of talent, more talent in their like pinky finger than most of the other guys on the court with them. But they're like some of, and they're getting better. I'm going along in the season, but to start, man, they're like some of the worst teammates that you have ever seen in your life. And they have some of the worst attitudes that you could ever imagine. And as a result, their coach, who is really awesome, by the way, their coach will often sit them, these three dudes, he will sit them on the bench for long stretches of a game or even long stretches of an entire season. And the camera crews, the Netflix camera crews, they're like, they're right up in these guys' grills for all of it, catching their real-time responses to not playing as much as they think that they should be. And these dudes cannot handle it. Okay, you can just see it on their faces. You can just tell that they are asking themselves of their coach, like, does this guy not know who I am? Right, the cameras will catch them, pounding on the seats when they're on the bench during a crucial part of the game, and they're constantly like dropping F-bombs and they're cussing their coach out behind his back because they are so mad that they are not in the game. These guys cannot understand what is happening to them because inside they're convinced, and oftentimes the cameras will catch them saying stuff to each other like, I should be out there. We should be out there. They're mad that they're sitting on the bench at some junior college when they know they're really talented enough to be playing somewhere else. Okay, they're too good. They know this. They're too good to be where they are, and they really should be somewhere further down the line, and yet they are not, and it's incredibly frustrating, and quite frankly, it's not a good look on any of them. Okay, now, from the comforts of my couch, it's easy to point the finger at these guys, and it's easy to pass judgment on them as I watch, like their worst moments, play out on the TV screen. But the honest truth is, I feel for them a little bit. easy to pass judgment on them, but I feel for them a little bit because there have been times in my life when I would have to admit that I know how they feel. I felt the same way before. No, I have never been a top basketball talent, at least not anywhere other than the 35-plus league at the Hudson YMCA. And no, I don't pound chairs and drop F-bombs and cuss people out behind their back. But I would be lying if I said that I've never had a moment where I felt like, you know, my assignment at the time, that the assignment that God had for me, I'd be lying if I said there weren't times when I felt like my assignment was too small. Like really, I was made for something more. I was created for something bigger and better. Like I should really be somewhere further down the line. If I'm being real honest, a few examples. If I'm being really honest, when we moved to Wisconsin, well, almost some 10 years ago, we started working in Menominee. I had moments, I'm just being honest, I have moments where I'm like, you know, God, is this town too small? I just came from Chicago, right? I have moments where I'm like, God, is this town too small? Like, surely this isn't like all you've got in store for me, right? Truthfully, if I'm really honest, I had similar concerns at the time about Hudson. When we decided to move from Menominee and start a new church, we could have gone anywhere. And so we wondered, well, should we go back to Chicago? Right? And if not Chicago, right, maybe into the cities at least, maybe Minneapolis or maybe St. Paul or maybe some other big kind of metro, you know, area. Maybe that would be more fitting, right? Maybe bigger really is better. That's probably where God could use someone like me the best. Now, rest assured, I promise you, I don't still think like that anymore. But I only share moments like these of my younger years, and I only share stories of college athletes, you know, thinking to themselves like, "Hey, I should be out there." I only share these kind of moments with you because I think it's something that we have all felt. I think it's a feeling that we have all felt at some time before. Maybe you're feeling that way right now. Maybe you're feeling like, you know, maybe you feel like you really should be further along in your career, or that you really should be on a bigger stage or a bigger platform or on a bigger playing field. Or maybe you're feeling like, man, you really should have more, you know, influence than you do in the community. You're going like, don't they know who I am? Or maybe you feel like, well, I should have more, you know, influence at home, or I should have more authority at work, or I really should have, don't they know who I am? I really should have more, you know, respect at the office, or more success, or more recognition, or more opportunity coming my way because of the talent, you know, and the ability that I possess. I think that there are some of us that know that feeling, right? I don't think I'm going too far out on a limb to think that there are a lot of people today who may feel like they've got more to offer than their current place or than their current assignment. Or maybe if it's not that, maybe there are people that are just discouraged at where they are right now, you know, discouraged that they're not further along somewhere and some part of their life that they'd like to be. And so if you would acknowledge that maybe this is true of you, if you would acknowledge that maybe you wish you had, you know, more of, you know, whatever, or you were further down the line in whatever, then I'm really glad that you're here today. Because here's what I want to tell you. I think God wants to give you more of it, whatever it is. I think God is actually prepared to give you more of whatever it is that you are wanting or wishing or hoping for. But there is something that I think he wants you to understand first. And that's what I want to try to uncover for you today. And so what I'm going to do to start here is we're going to turn to the book of Luke in the New Testament. Luke was just a Jesus follower who wrote about what he experienced while he literally followed Jesus. And so in Luke chapter 16, Luke records a parable that Jesus told his disciples. Jesus often taught in parables. Parables were just, they were kind of earthly stories that taught spiritual truths. And so here in this moment, Jesus is teaching his disciples with a parable. And it doesn't say exactly why Jesus decided to teach this lesson to his disciples when he did. I could make some guesses if I had to try. For starters, his disciples, they're just real, everyday, flawed, broken, imperfect dudes. And they're given crazy amounts of authority and responsibility. And these are some of the same guys, if you follow their story, these are some of the same guys that are always kind of jockeying for position, wanting to know who's the greatest and the best and the brightest among them, and who is going to rise to the top when all is said and done. So maybe Jesus is just looking for every opportunity that he can to help these guys get their heads on straight. Okay, we don't know for sure, but he teaches them this parable about a rich man. Again, it's just an earthly story that teaches spiritual truths. And so he tells them a story about a rich man who hires a dude to manage his affairs. And when the rich man finds out that the guy he hired is wasting and mismanaging his money, he fires him. And the manager freaks out, and he's like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? This is awful. And so he quickly comes up with a plan, and he scrambles to put something into place where he goes to all of the, you know, the accounts that he had for his boss, and he quickly scrambles to try and go and earn at least some of his boss's money back. And it says he gets it, you know, almost kind of like 50% of each deal that he kind of mismanaged, he gets it back. And much to everyone's surprise in the story, the rich man, as Jesus tells the story, the rich man in the story, he praised the crooked manager. Much to everyone's surprise, he kind of applauds the manager that he just fired. He says, like, you know what? Good for him. The dude was smart, and he made the most of the hand that he was dealt, or the hand that he kind of created for himself. He made the most of the situation that he was in. And then here's what Jesus says next to his disciples. He says to them, I want you to be smart in the same way, but for what is right. Using every adversity to stimulate you to creative survival, to concentrate your attention on the bare essentials so you'll live, really live, and not complacently just get by on good behavior. And then Jesus, he makes three comments. He makes, you know, three statements to them. And I think this is what he really wants his disciples to comprehend in the moment. And it's what I want you to hear today. And it's what I want you to understand as well. If you are wanting to manage well whatever it is that God has given you, if you are wanting to prepare yourself well for wherever it is that God might be leading you, this is what I want you to hear as well. Here's what Jesus says to them. If you are faithful, boys, he says, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Verse 11, he says, and if you are untrustworthy, if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? Right? The heart of his message is saying, hey, fellas, hey, guys, hey, people listening, if you're faithful in the little things, then God knows you'll be faithful and you can be trusted with the big things. Friends, here's what I want to suggest to you today about the hopes and the dreams that you might have for where you'd like to be. And here's what I want to say to you about the frustration that you might experience, that you might be feeling as a result of where you are right now, right? Rather than where you would like to be. Here's what I want you to know. Your greatest opportunity, I think it depends on what you do with your smallest responsibility. You might be wishing for something more down the line, frustrating that some opportunity hasn't come your way. What I want you to understand is that your greatest opportunity out in front of you, out around the bend, right? Your greatest opportunity, I think it depends on and it hinges on what you do with your smallest responsibility. Here's the truth, folks. I do really believe that God would love to let a little more rope out for you. I think God's got his fingers crossed, right? Hoping that you really would be ready for him to lead you into greater opportunities, lead you to greater influence, lead you to a bigger platform for whatever or wherever it is that he has called you to. I think he's got his fingers crossed, hoping that you and I would be ready for where it is that he might want to take us. But I think he wants to know first. What are you going to do? Yeah, I got some great opportunities in store for you, but I think he wants to know first, what are you going to do with the smallest responsibilities that you have right now, right where you are? What are you going to do with those? What are you going to do with it? I think he wants us to understand that our greatest opportunity, of which I think he's got many in store for us, I think he wants us to understand that our greatest opportunity is often a direct result of how well we manage our smallest responsibility, how well we manage our smallest assignment, right? Even the one that we think, come on, man, I shouldn't be here, right? Don't you know who I am? Or I really should be at the next level. I can't believe that, you know, why haven't they asked me? Or why haven't they noticed me? Or why haven't they promoted me? Or why haven't they acknowledged me? Right? If we can be trusted there in those moments, we can be trusted there in the little things, then we can be trusted at the next level or at the next stop on whatever road it is that we are traveling. Too often, though, here's what happens. Too often, we get this stuff twisted around. We think, well, I'm talented enough for the big things, and so the small things, that's really beneath me, right? I'm talented enough to play up here, so all this stuff down here, that's not really worth my time. Who could be bothered, right? I've got the goods to play up here, so why in the world would I be bothered all the way down here? We get this twisted all the time, and when we don't get this right, this is what I see, right? It's when we don't get this relationship right, I think that's when then we become kind of most frustrated and we become most discouraged. And when I think we even become most dangerous to ourselves and to others today. In fact, I think getting this relationship out of order, I think it's what jeopardizes the sustained influence of more leaders in the world today. I think it's what jeopardizes the sustained influence that you and I might have in the world in which we exist. See, what's becoming more and more problematic in the world of leadership today, just leadership in general, right? Because you know that you and I can lead wherever we are. What's becoming more and more problematic in the world of leadership today? I read about this stuff. I've seen it with my own eyes, if I'm being honest. It probably was true of me 10 or 15 years ago. Okay, what's happening more and more today is that people's ability is outpacing their maturity. Okay, another way you could say this is this, that people's competency is outpacing their character, right? Success in some area of their life or talent in some arena in the world, it's leading them or it has the potential to lead them to places that their character cannot sustain them. Right, the real spiritual way to put this would be to say that sometimes people, and this is what I think is happening in the world today, sometimes people are anointed before they are appointed. What in the world does that mean? Okay, anointed, to say someone is anointed is a way to talk about someone who has been chosen by God. That they've been set apart, or they've been selected, for high and for sacred and for special vocations and for special purposes, right? That's what it means, you know, to be anointed, right? And so here's the truth. Here's what I believe is possible. You can be anointed for some special purpose, some sacred purpose. You can be anointed for it before you are actually appointed to it. The best biblical example of this is David. The same David who slayed Goliath, the same David who is known as a man after God's own heart, the same David who goes down, you know, in history as one of Israel's, you know, greatest, albeit imperfect, but goes down in history as a really great king in Israel's history. Okay? But did you know that David was anointed as king long before he was actually appointed king and handed the keys to the kingdom? In the book of 1 Samuel, when we first read of David being chosen by God, you know, set apart by God, it's there that we read about the first time that he's anointed, that he's chosen by God to be King Saul's successor. At the time, David is just a shepherd boy. He's the He's the scrawny, you know, little brother in a family full of, you know, tall, strong, strapping, handsome men. And God comes to his family, right? He sends a prophet to visit the family to select the new king, right? And all the strong, strapping, handsome men kind of strut out in front. And God actually says, no, you there in the back. Yeah, the little scrawny one. That's the guy that I want. That's who I'm tapping on the shoulder. That's who I'm picking. That's who I'm selecting. That's who I'm setting apart to be the next great king. I choose him to be the next great king over all of Israel. Okay? This is the moment the first moment when David was anointed to be king. God says, yeah, I pick him. And you got to get this. David did not actually become king for, you know, about 15 years or so later. Okay? He was anointed there in that moment. God said, I pick him. He was anointed, but not yet appointed. Even though he was successful, even though his influence was growing, even though his skills and his abilities were on full display, and even though he had chances to grab the throne for himself. See, David truly was successful, and people started to notice his success. People started to notice his talent. People started to notice his competency. People started to notice his ability, and they started to sing his praises more than Saul, the current king. And Saul gets crazy jealous and insecure, and he got so jealous, and threatened by David's success that he tries to kill David because he's that threatened, but by David kind of coming up the ranks. And so he tries to kill David. Everybody knows he's got it out for him. And so David was now a man on the run. At one point, David is hiding in a cave with Saul in hot pursuit. And the Bible says that Saul, you gotta love details like this in the Bible. The Bible says that Saul, he's in hot pursuit of David. The Bible says that Saul stepped into a cave to relieve himself, okay? So Saul's got to take a, okay, well, you get that. You get the point, okay? Saul steps into a cave to relieve himself. And so with his pants around his ankles like a sitting duck, David, he's in the same cave. David has the opportunity to take Saul out. And all of David's men hiding in the cave with him, they're like, psst. Yo, Dave, that's him. They're like, God off his head. Y'all take him out. They're like, he's standing right in front of you. They're going, God picked you anyway. This dude is crazy. This dude's losing his grip on the kingdom. They're like, take him out. The throne is yours. It couldn't have been easier, David. Just take him out. But David doesn't do it. Right? Rather than cutting off his head, he just cuts off a little piece of Saul's robe. And he says to his guys, he says, no. He says, it's not my time. He said, the Lord forbids that I would raise my hand against the one that he has chosen for right now. He said, it's not my time. And so David continues to wait for the assignment that God has already picked him for. It was just gonna take some time. And in that time, I think David's identity, it is forged in the fire. In that time, his maturity is fine-tuned. And in that time, I think his character catches up to the calling that God has placed on his life. And when the time was then right, David assumed the throne and became the great king that he was for all of God's people. Right? If you're faithful in the little things, in the little places that God has placed you. If you're faithful and you're honest in the little things, then you'll be trusted with greater things and greater opportunities. But it all starts with how you handle, how you manage, and what it is you do right where you are, right where God has placed you at the moment. Friends, I really do believe that God might have big plans for you just around the bend. I really do believe that God has, you know, God might have big stages and big platforms of great influence for you to step onto. I really do believe that God might be calling you to, you know, to the next level or to the next, you know, phase in whatever area you are in right now. And I really do believe that he might have great, great, great opportunities in store for you. I just want to remind you today that the greatest opportunity very well may depend on what you do with your smallest responsibility here and now. So, if you are not totally satisfied, if you are not totally content with your current place or your current assignment or your current lot or your current calling in life, then here's what I want to encourage you to do starting today. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Do right by God right where you are so that God can lead you to where you'd like to be. Right? You ready for what's next? You think you got the goods to play up here rather than down here? That's great. Here's what I'd say to you. Do right by God right where you are so that God can lead you to where you'd like to be. Do right by God with whatever it is you have right now. And I really believe that God might give you more of it. Right, so if God has given you just, you know, a little bit of talent right now, do right by God with it, right where you are at. You can still use it faithfully for God's purposes. Don't think, you know, well, the stage isn't big enough, or I'm not a superstar yet, so what good can I do, right? If you use what talent you have right here and right now, God very well might give you more of it. If God has given you just a little bit of money, do right by God with it. Use it wisely. Use it God's way. Don't wait for someday. Do it right now, right where you are at. And God very well might bless you with more of it. If God has given you just a little bit of time, do right by God with it, right where you are. And God very well might lead you to where it is that you'd like to be. If God has given you just a little bit of influence somewhere in the world, do right by God with it, right where you're at. Don't think it depends on gaining more of it then. Use whatever influence you have for good and for others and for God, and God will increase your influence in ways that you might be dreaming about it. If God has given you the smallest responsibility right now, the one that you're thinking, oh my goodness, right? Don't they know who I... If God has given you the smallest responsibility right now, do right by God with it, right where you are. And I think God may give you even greater opportunities in the days to come. God has given you, make no mistake, God has given you everything you need to be faithful right now, right where you are. The rest is up to you and how well you use whatever you've got, wherever it is that you are at the moment. All week long, there was the words to an old spiritual that kept playing through my head. And I couldn't help but think of the words of this spiritual and how it encourages us along these same lines. I was singing it all week, these words running through my head. And so I actually asked Brian to come and sing it for us today as we close out our time together. I asked Brian to come sing it as I carve out a few moments here and now to allow you to think, to allow you to consider where it is and what it is you might use right where you are. The song that I'm going to have Brian start playing here behind me and even singing for us, the song is called, you might know it, the song is called "I'm Going to Live So God Can Use Me." I'm going to live so God can use me. An old spiritual. Maybe you know the song. Maybe you don't. If you do know the song, maybe you like the song and maybe you don't. Maybe you think the song is is old and silly, or maybe you would maybe see here today that maybe, regardless of what it is, maybe it gives us the perfect way to offer more of ourselves to God anywhere we are at any time. And so as Brian begins to play here, let me just ask you, just to get things rolling here, let me just ask you, what in your life, what in your life right now could you offer more of to God? What would it look like for you to do right by God right where you are? As you consider it here in this moment, because I don't want this moment to pass us by. After this, we're all gonna go into a million different places. So I don't want this moment to pass us by without taking a moment to look inside of ourselves. And so as you consider that question, what would it look like for you to do right by God right where you are, as you consider it, let Brian lead you. He's gonna sing the words over you. You can sing along if you want, but let these words, help you today to make whatever commitment it is that you need to make towards God for the life that you live.
Live, God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna live so God can use me anywhere, Lord. God can use me anywhere, Lord, oh, anytime. I'm gonna live a life. God can use me anywhere,
love that. Anywhere, anytime. Take a moment now. I do not want this moment to pass us by. Take a moment right now to think again, to look a little deeper. Take a moment now to think of the work that God has called you to. It might be work in your home. Might be work in the marketplace. It might be the work that God has called you to in the boardroom, or it might be the work that God has called you to in a classroom or in a hospital room, or maybe in the community, or maybe in the church. But take a moment right now, when it comes to the work that God has called you to ask yourself where and how God can use you there.
Work so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna work so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna work so God can use me anywhere,
Take a moment now, think about your faith. Maybe you would like for your faith, if you were honest, maybe you'd like for your faith to be at the next level. Maybe you'd like to be further along in your relationship with Jesus, right? Wherever it is that you are right now, and we're all at different places, and I'm so glad to have everyone here, right? To think, wherever you are, maybe you'd like to be somewhere further down the line in that relationship with Jesus. As Brian sings yet again here for us, another verse, make it your prayer that God would use whatever little bit of faith you've got right where you are to lead you to where you'd like to be.
I'm gonna pray so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna pray so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna pray so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna pray so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime.
Finally, I want you to think about the voice that God has given you. And I'm not necessarily just talking about the singing voice. Some of you are going like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Okay? I want you to think about the voice of influence that God has given you. I want you to think about the sphere of influence that God has placed you in right now, wherever that might be. And maybe, I don't know, but maybe you'd like for your influence to grow. Maybe you'd like for your impact to expand. Maybe you'd like for your voice to be louder or to be heard more in some place or in some part of your world. Like for your voice to be louder in the sphere of influence in which you exist every day. As Brian sings for us this last verse, make a commitment right now to lead right where you are. To do right by God, right where it is that He has got you, and use your voice to do good in this world.
Gonna sing so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna sing so God can use me anywhere, God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna sing so God can use me anywhere,
Midcurrent. I really, 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 really do think that God wants to give us more and that He wants to lead us more to where it is that we would like to be. I really do. But I also think He cares a great deal about how we handle our business when we don't have whatever it is that we want next, or when we have not arrived where we want to be yet. I think He cares a great deal about how we handle ourselves there. Our greatest opportunity, friends, our greatest opportunity very well may depend on what we do with our smallest responsibility that we have right now, right where we're at. So let's be faithful there. Let's be faithful in the little things. Let's be faithful in the little bits of responsibility. Let's be faithful in the little assignments that God has given us right where we are. And let's keep our eyes open, and let's keep our ears open, and let's keep our hands open, and let's keep our hearts open then for the big things that may come our way. Let me pray for us. God, thanks for this morning. Thanks for the chance, God, to just to pause and to take a look at our life and our world and where it is that you might be wanting to use us more, God. God, sometimes when I think about it, I'm in shock and I'm in awe and I'm just completely humbled that you would use us, God, that you would use people like me to be about the things that you are doing in this world, God. But what an honor to have you tapping some of us on the shoulder, God. What a privilege to have you calling our name, to have you draw our name out of the hat, God. What a privilege it is for you to hand down to us an assignment that you might want us to complete here for you. So God, help us to look at where we are right now. Help us to look at what we have and help us to be faithful with you, God. Even if the responsibility and the assignment is small, God, help us to be faithful in it so that we might be ready then. To be faithful in it, to be trusted with the bigger things that you may be preparing to send our way. God, help us to be ready. Help us to keep our hands open and our hearts open to you. And God, we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the one that makes it possible for us. His love for us and most of all his grace for us makes it possible for us to keep giving ourselves to you, God, not perfectly, but just faithfully, God. It's because of what Jesus has done that we can continue on after you. So we give you thanks for the gift that he is, and we give you thanks for this morning. We pray all these things in the name of your Son.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. Follow us online during the week and visit us on Sunday mornings at 9 and 10:30 a.m. at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson.